Hello and welcome to the Adventure Games Podcast. My name is Shorsha Dunbar and I'm your host.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Adventure Games Podcast. I hope everyone listening is doing well. This is Shorsha Dunbar. And a few days ago, I had the opportunity to speak to Ramon Hamilton, a really, really lovely guy who is the lead actor and developer of a new game that's just been released, Case Files Behind Closed Doors. This is an FMV game where you play the role as a detective and you have to help the detective Martin Ruiz, played also by Ramon Hamilton, to find out what happened. So Martin Ruiz interviews several suspects and then you have to guide him, you have to check for evidence. And I played this game and I loved it, and I invited Ramon on the podcast. He very kindly agreed to speak to me more about this game, and I had an absolutely wonderful, lovely conversation with him. Now, before we get to the interview, I just wanted to give some advance notice to people that the whole game, the topic, as well as possible murder and suicide, the topic does revolve around domestic violence, and we do speak about that a little bit as well. Now, it is relevant to the game, as I said, but just wanted to give some advance notice that we do talk a bit about domestic violence in this interview, and that's what this game is about. But I would encourage people to check out the game. I will be reviewing the game in more detail next week, hopefully. But in the meantime, here is my conversation with Ramon Hamilton, filmmaker, actor, and game developer. But first, here is a short trailer of the game, Case Files Behind Closed Doors, followed by my interview. So please enjoy.
We've got Daniel Murphy, age 49, works as a financial planner. He was shot and killed in his home with a 38 caliber handgun that's registered to him. You claim that he had grabbed you pretty forcefully too. I mean, so much so that he dislocated your right elbow. Is that right?
Yeah, but I don't want you to think that was the norm or anything.
You like to hit women, huh?
What are you talking about?
Oh, don't get your hands off me. I know what you did to Emma.
So you see that it's recording then, yeah?
Yep.
Perfect. I will just start then. So thank you so much for joining for another episode of the Adventure Games Podcast. And for this recording, I am delighted to be joined by, the developer and director, Ramon Hamilton, who was the lead developer and director of, Case Files, The Death of Paulette Williams, and the most recent game to be out, it might be out by the time you listen to this, Case Files Behind Closed Doors. So hello, Ramon. How are you doing today?
I am good. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm delighted. So thank you for coming on. So I just finished playing your game last night, Case Files Behind Closed Doors, and I really, really enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to discussing this with you now and to find out more about you and about the making of the game as well, because it looked very interesting. So first of all, I ask everyone this, and I'll ask you, do you have any favorite adventure or narrative games yourself? So do you have any adventure games that you played growing up or recent or anything at all? So which games do you particularly like playing?
So yeah, you know, I've been literally gaming since the Atari 2600. so yeah, now, and I enjoy all sorts of games, and narrative games are actually definitely at the top of my list. So, you know, if I had to say favorite, and even honestly, one that I aspire to kind of make in that genre is the Life is Strange series. I am a huge, huge fan of that. You know, very strong stories, strong and rich characters, and, you know, just the right amount of interactivity and choices that you can make to alter, you know, the situation of the characters and how the story unfolds. So, yeah, that at this point in time, I haven't found a narrative series that is really topped that for me. And again, that's actually something I would, you know, I actually literally already have like a couple of game ideas that can fit into that kind of mold. But yeah, you know, the budgets are the biggest concern because they're not cheap to make.
No, I can imagine not. I mean, actually, you made an FMV game. An FMV type game of Life is Strange or similar to that would be very interesting.
That would, yeah, actually, that would be interesting.
But yeah, it would probably require a budget.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, no, I just played the first one, but I really, really enjoyed it. And the prequel, Before the Storm, really enjoyed that as well. And hope to sometime play the other two. But yeah, no, and I also ask you this because your game is a police detective interrogation game, which we're going to talk about. But now you mentioned on the Steam page that if you like true crime podcasts, you might enjoy this. Do you enjoy listening to any true crime podcasts at all yourself, or any crime podcast, or even if it's fiction or anything at all like that?
So yeah, so I actually don't necessarily listen to any true crime podcasts, but I am a huge true crime, you know, shows I watch.
Okay.
And both fictional and nonfiction. And so I'm always immersed in that genre in some capacity. You know, I just very much am interested in even cases that have been solved, you know, just learning motivations, understanding what it took to solve those cases. And of course, the ones that are unsolved, you know, those have the most intrigue because you have obviously so many different resources and people that are trying to solve these, and yet they're still not able to be solved. And so, you know, you start to speculate and then you start to play your own detective, you know, like, well, maybe this or maybe that, you know. But yeah, you know, in one particular show, actually, that's, I believe it's on Netflix. It's the game that my game is loosely inspired by this is a show called Criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Now Criminal is brilliant in my opinion, because it's simplistic. You know, 90% of the show takes place either in the interview room or in the behind the scenes of the people watching the interviews, very much like my game, which is, you know, those are the two environments. So you really have to rely on, you know, good cases, good characters, good performances, and things that can just keep you very much hooked and engaged in trying to figure out what the heck is going on, you know. And what I love so much about that genre is it's very active as opposed to passive. You know, if you're watching a comedy, you sit back, you laugh, you know, you're not necessarily thinking, you take in the moments, you know, you have a laugh and you move on. But with true crime, or just crime type shows in general, it's active. You're trying to put pieces together. You're trying to solve things as the detectives in the show or in the game are trying to solve things. So it just becomes a much more, just a more active experience and gets your brain thinking, you know, if that's the kind of thing that you enjoy.
Yeah. I haven't seen Criminal per se, but I do know about, I believe, is it the Kit Harington is in one of the series, the guy who played Jon Snow. I think, is that the English? Because I don't know if they're
yeah,
French,
I think
German
it's in the
one
English
as well.
Version, or that, yeah. There's multiple versions, you know, yeah. they take place in different countries, which is also really cool. I've never really seen that before.
Yeah. It's very unique.
You know, so, but yeah, it's a, you know, it's a very, very, you know, innovative show in the way that it's done, but its simplicity is what makes it so engaging because you're just with the suspects and that's it. You know, you're just literally, you're trying to read them, you know, you're trying to take information and clues that you've gathered and trying to figure out, okay, are they lying here or maybe they're telling the truth, but maybe they're lying about something else. You know, what is their motive? You know, and of course, did they do it? That's the biggest one. You know, are they guilty or are they innocent?
Yeah, that's how I felt when I was playing your game. I was thinking, oh, so what actually happened? And are they telling the truth? Or maybe are they telling the truth about this thing? And then you're actually asked, the player, which again, we'll talk more about the game, but then you're actually asked a couple of times, do you believe them? Do you believe they're telling the truth? And I was thinking, I don't know. Are they? You should kind of make a judgment call and go back over the evidence and all. But yeah, that's something I really, you know, want to watch as well. But before we get on to your game, because I believe you come from a filmmaking background before you made these two games. How did you start? So how did you found a company then? And or what can you tell us about anything that you've done, any films that you've made before? So did you make any films before founding the company? Or how did that go about? So how did you get involved in this? Does that make sense?
So you're absolutely correct. Yeah, I come from a filmmaking background. Actually, the first feature film, you know, I made a couple of experimental short films and things like that. But the first feature film I made was a psychological horror film. This was back in, I believe it was like 2008, 2009, around there, called The Hiding. And again, that was a psychological horror type film, kind of like a modern day Shining-ish, so to speak. A couple of years later, probably the most successful film that I had, and these are all, you know, independent, you know, films, was a film called Smuggled. And that was a film that was very small. And I mean that in quite literally every sense. It was small in the sense of budget, much lower actually than The Hiding. And also small because about, I'd say 80% of the film took place in a very small compartment in which a mom and her son were being smuggled across the US-Mexico border. And so you're in this very tight, claustrophobic setting with these two characters that are experiencing that. But you know, surprisingly, the one that was probably the least budget was actually the most successful in terms of, you know, film festivals and then later the distribution and sales and all that stuff. We continue to make films up until around 2017-ish. And that's actually when I was first introduced to virtual reality. So actually the transition came from virtual reality. And so I had just demoed the PlayStation VR at a GameStop in Los Angeles. And I was immediately like blown away. I was like, oh my gosh, this is absolutely amazing. And then when I learned that you could also, you know, upload 180 or 360 degree, 3D immersive video, that was like, okay, wait, you know, I can use this for actual storytelling, for movies. And one of the things that's really important to understand about my filmmaking background is I am very much character driven. That's always been my thing. Character driven and rich stories. You know, I don't do action, beat 'em ups or things like that. Very, very character driven. So a big part of that is to create empathy, you know, and I do think that filmmaking is a great tool for empathy. And then VR added to that was even more, because now it's like, you know, my goal as a filmmaker is to try to put you in the character's shoes. Well, now I can literally, right, put you into their environment, into their scenario and have that. And so I actually created a VR experience that was called Once Upon a Time in Peekskill that we released on the Oculus Rift. Oculus Rift and then the Rift S. And it was, that was experimental, literally my first time trying anything. But to create that, I had to use a game engine because I wanted some interactivity. So you can kind of choose which sections you want to watch, which, you know, it's mild interactivity, but it's still something that had to be programmed. And so that was my introduction to Unity and getting to understand you know, what a game engine is and how it operates in terms of creating what I want to create. We released that. I was really falling in love with the whole gaming thing, because again, my goal is to give, you know, to put you as best as possible in the shoes of the characters or the situation. And with gaming, I can give you that further autonomy that I can't give you in a movie. You know, like, yeah, in a 180 degree or 360 movie, yeah, I can give you the freedom to look wherever you want. That's more freedom than if you're just watching a movie on a screen. You're going to take the angle that I give you or that my editors give you. That's, and you have to take it. But the next evolvement from the 180, 360 was, how can I give further autonomy to the person that's consuming this content? And that's where it, you know, the light bulb went off, and it's like, yeah, you know, gaming, you know, and as a lifelong gamer, you know, I'm ashamed to say it didn't occur to me sooner, you know, but like, it was kind of like a duh, right? So, and that's where then we jumped into, you know, trying to actually marry the two. So using character driven, you know, film and video content with gaming interactivity. And so, like, you can be, again, immersed in that environment, in that setting. You're focused on the characters, their situations, the overall story. And that's how Case Files and our, you know, our actual, you know, true putting our, you know, our dipping our, I guess, our toes in the water of game development. That's where it spawned. And then, you know, with this most recent game that we created, I'm, you know, personally very proud and happy to say, like, okay, I think we've got now how we can create that kind of formula to really marry those two in a way that's not your standard FMV, right? You know, not with both Case Files, The Death of Paulette Williams, and the most recent one, Behind Closed Doors, that you played. They're not your standard FMVs where you just watch a movie and then you have to make a choice about which way you want the story to go. The FMV is organically there, you know, like, these things happen in real life. I mean, that's the show Criminal that we talked about. There's people behind the scenes literally watching, you know, the interviews, and then they're chiming in and talking to the detectives in the interrogation room, and they're having conversations and how to sway things and what to ask and things like that. So the FMV for us is just an organic part of just this kind of detective simulator experience. And like I said, you know, I think with this most recent game, we delivered everything that we were really hoping to put together in terms of marrying these two art forms.
Yeah. I mean, there's always that discussion about, I think, what that advantage that games can have over film. And I love films and TV series as well. And podcasts, of course, but it's that whole interactivity that you have. And that is used quite well in your game Case Files, Behind Closed Doors. And there's, we can talk about the gameplay as well. But I wanted to ask you, first of all, because I just read on your website that correct me if I'm wrong, but mm-hmm. that you wanted to raise awareness and inspire conversation, it says, so talk with difficult topics. Because this game, as well as possible murder, possible suicide, you know, deaths of people, it also, it revolves around domestic violence, which not a lot of games talk about, for obvious reasons. It's very difficult to talk about. Now, thankfully, I don't know much about it myself, but from what I could see, the game and yourselves, I think, dealt with it very respectfully and with a lot of empathy to everyone involved. And you also show how it affects not just the people in the family, but the community as well, you know, possibly the neighbor in the game as well. Why do you want to, I suppose, raise awareness with these topics, you know, that, because I'm sure it's challenging to try, you know, rather than typical story in a game, but adding to that, these sort of topics like domestic violence and other things that a lot of people go through as well. So how do you go? So why do you want to do this, I guess?
Sure. Well, you know, one thing is just, in a larger sense, you know, I've always been committed to shedding light on social issues, global issues, you know, whatever things that I feel, at least for me, are important to shed light on. And then, you know, and I think that comes from, you know, my father was also, he was a huge activist here in the States. And so, you know, I think just the mindset of just, you know, when you see things that might be a so-called injustice or things that we may not necessarily as a society look at in the depth or in a certain perspective, that we probably should. Again, obviously that's coming from my opinion. Then yeah, I feel like I should shed light on this. You know, we mentioned the film Smuggled earlier. That was a film that's a very heated topic here in the United States regarding immigration, and not just in the United States, globally, right? I mean, we don't own the rights to immigration problems. The follow-up film that I did after that was actually a short film called The Hole. And that was a film that looked at solitary confinement. That's actually a film that's used by a lot of, social justice groups like Amnesty International has used it. The ACLU, which is the American Civil Liberties Union, they've used it to advocate for and shed light on what solitary confinement really looks like. You know, we all know what solitary confinement is, but we don't necessarily know, what does that look like? What does someone's 24 hours a day look like? Again, from the United States perspective in our prison system. With this particular case, a central part of this is the domestic violence, which again, that's not an American issue. That is a global issue everywhere. There's also the concept of, justice. Justice, at least from my perspective, there's the law, right? That's written. That's concrete. And, you do X, Y will happen. But then there's also the social perspective, the individual perspective as well as justice. You know, just because it's on paper, does it actually need to be enforced? An example of that actually is in the film Smuggled, which I consulted with, actual law enforcement officers in California, specifically that deal with border issues. And we have a situation, and I'm going to somewhat spoil the film, but that's all right. We have a situation towards the end where this officer who has been dealing with this young boy who's 10 years old, who whose mom was attempting to bring him over the border illegally into the States. And after a whole long and drawn out process, the officer actually decides to just let the kid go. And obviously that is that's a moral judgment on behalf of that officer, but that information actually came from real officers, so it's not just something I just made up out of my own head. But the larger point is that on paper, that child should have been detained, right? But that officer, that individual officer, their moral, perspective on what is just wasn't that. It was not what's on paper. It was to do, in fact, what's technically illegal, and that was to let the child go. Now, obviously, I'm not going to tell you who that officer was, but that, that was a real life scenario. And so you're posed with a situation like that as well in this game. This is a true thing here. When I first announced the game to our Discord community, and I shared a little write-up. In fact, you can find it on the Steam page, where I think it starts with like an abusive boyfriend has been killed or something like that. And then it goes on to tell you a little bit more about the story, or at least, the basic elements of what you're going to be diving into. I had some Discord members like, oh, you can stop an abusive boyfriend, not guilty. They're just going to let them go. No one did it. And obviously they were joking, but it is, again, it's that, this person has been killed. There's documentation of domestic violence against their partner. And, there are people that right there is enough to say, okay, well, they deserve that. And
that question was actually asked by the detective, by your character, Detective Martin Ruiz. Is that, do you think he deserved to die or something along those lines? Are you happy that he died? He didn't say, did you kill him? But
are you happy that, that this abuser is no longer going to be abusing you?
Yeah.
And you have a guarantee now because they have left this earth, So, but that's one of the things that I also, without spoiling anything, it is one of the things that I do want players in this game to have to make their own moral, you know, calls. You know, again, yes, there is what's the law, but ultimately these officers, and you are one of the officers, you're the detective that's behind the scenes. You get to make decisions as well, and you can go outside of what is written in law and go with what you think is, in your opinion, the right thing to do, you know, or you can go with the law. That's, you know, that's up to the player.
Yeah, but both options are, I felt, were viable in the game. But I also wanted to mention as well, you have said on your website that you donate 10% of your project's profits to organizations working around these topics. Is that correct? Yes, that's still
correct. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
another reason to get your game to help, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And this one is very straightforward. You know, sometimes like the first case. Because the first case, without spoiling, I don't know how to go about it without spoiling. Well, we'll just say this. The first case, due to the nature of the themes, was a little bit more difficult to think about, you know, where can the 10% of profits go to? This one is very straightforward. Mm. You know, 10% of profits will be going to organizations. And there's actually one in particular that was also a consultant on this, but yeah, you know, an organization that actually does help victims of domestic violence, in pretty much every capacity. So yeah, this one is very clear. You know, this is where we want to put those financial efforts towards.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, you get a very, in my opinion, a great game and for a good cause as well. So about the game, about domestic violence, then I wanted to ask you, could you let people listening know about the characters that we'll meet in this game? So what can you tell, again, without spoiling anything, don't need to say who did it. tell us about the characters we'll meet in this game?
Absolutely, yeah. And this, you know, you're introduced to them in the very first round of the game anyway, so there's no spoilers for sure. So yeah, you know, the basic setup again is this guy, Daniel Murphy, he has been shot and killed. It is, whoever may have done this has attempted to make it look like a suicide, and the medical examiner does not think that that's possible. So basically, that points to someone did this. And of those someone, there's four people. There's Daniel's partner, who her name is Emma. And so Emma has been with Daniel for, I believe, a little over a year. And as we discussed, she was actually, unfortunately, the victim of domestic violence at the hands of Daniel. And, you know, due to that nature, it's very possible that she, you know, may have taken matters into her own hands to ensure that doesn't happen. There's also Emma's ex-husband, Charles, who, even though Emma and Charles are divorced, they are still very amicable. They're friends. They're raising their daughter. They just, in terms of a romantic relationship, that didn't work. But he is someone who very much cares for Emma, wants the best for Emma. And he becomes, you know, he learns of the situation that has happened between her and Daniel. And that also gives him a potential motive. You know, a loved one of his is having these experiences. And obviously he doesn't want that to happen. Whether or not he takes matters into his own hands, that's again for the player to decide. And then there's their daughter, Rebecca. She's a college student, and she does actually live with Daniel and Emma. So she was actually in the house when this incident of domestic violence happened. So she's very aware of it. And you know, she knows that her mom went to the hospital and all that stuff. And, you know, she loves her mom, loves her dad. It's a loving family in general. And of course, doesn't want to see her mom getting hurt or anything like that. So again, she has a possible motive as well to see, you know, that this ever happens to her mom again. And then the last one is, and there's a really interesting story on this character, but we can discuss that later if we want to. Mm-hmm. But the last one is their neighbor, is specifically Daniel and Emma's neighbor, their next door neighbor named Janice. And Janice is an interesting character because she actually has direct experience with domestic violence. She was the victim of domestic violence herself. And the situation for her was very severe, and she actually did end up taking matters into her own hands, and she killed her abuser, who also happened to be her husband. She was sentenced to prison. She spent 9 years in prison for that. And you know, she's recently back into society. She's been out for a little over a year, and she becomes very close with Emma. They become friends, you know, so not just neighbors, but actually friends, and they confide in each other. And she learns of what happened to Emma as well. And, that becomes very triggering, obviously, as someone who's dealt with this, and she can, of course, empathize. And, you know, she has taken matters into her own hands in the past. So it's possible that she may have taken matters into her own hands this time. And so, again, that's for you, the player, to choose. But yeah, we have, you know, in my opinion, four strong characters. I think they all did a fantastic job of bringing their characters to life. And more importantly, from a detective game experience, they all literally have a motive, you know, which makes it a little complex to just, you know, like right off the bat, you can't just say, oh, it was that person or that person. Because yeah, they all could absolutely have a reason to kill Daniel Murphy.
Yeah, by the way, I don't think there's any spoilers there, because this is literally all found out at the very beginning of the game. So exactly. We are another detective. We play ourselves, and we are in a police room. We're watching these interrogations, which your character does for all four of these suspects on video. And we also have evidence. So we have the police file. We have text conversations. And all of this information, which you just gave, is available at the very beginning of the game. So people shouldn't worry about spoilers. But yeah, all four of them could do, because... But also, as you said, the actors were all really good as well. And when I was playing this, and I promise you, I'm not intentionally blowing smoke up your ass, because when I was playing this game, and I was actually thinking, God, I would have loved to speak to one of the actors and the guy who played Detective Martin Ruse in particular, and just to say what a great job you guys did. And then when I saw the credits and it came up that the person who played Martin Ruse was yourself, Ramon Hamilton. And I said, oh, great, I can tell you directly. And one of the things that I really liked about, well, the way that it was written and the way that all, well, five of you, well, six if you include very short way scene involving the CCTV with Daniel, is, well, how empathetic your character came across. So there's none of the, you know, shouting, or because I was thinking before I played the game, I was thinking, oh, this is FMV. Is there going to be overacting or cheesy? Because it has happened with many FMV games in the past.
You're absolutely correct, yes.
And I was thinking, oh, interrogation, this is like all the actors are going to go wild. Let's go nuts. But everyone is very calm. And your detective, there's, you know, you weren't being like the macho detective guy, which we see so often. You were very, your character was very empathetic, still wanting to get to the truth, still calling them out when, you know, if they lie, whenever they lie about things. But what I got was your character showed a lot of empathy to everyone involved. I'm guessing that was intentional with the type of story, with, you know, with the theme of domestic violence.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things too, with anything that we do, is there's research, you know, and the research, you know, is actually quite easy for these kind of things. You can go on YouTube and you can watch, you know, real police interviews or FBI interviews. And, you know, for the most part, very, very few exceptions, but for the most part, the detectives are calm. You know, they are wanting to give the people that they're interviewing a sense of comfort, a sense of ease, you know, so that they'll open up, so that they'll talk. I mean, that's the whole goal. You know, there's a psychological aspect to this. If you come out there and like, I know you did it, God damn it. I know you did it. Tell me you did it, or I'm going to smash your head against this wall. Well, you know, that becomes very intimidating, and you might even get a forced confession, you know, and that's not necessarily an actual confession, you know, it's just because they don't want to get their head bashed in. That approach is also true to real life. You know, again, there's always, of course, exceptions. You know, there are, you know, some extremes, and that's a case by case scenario. But for the most part, when these detectives are trying to understand what happened, they're trying to get to the bottom of, they're trying to get to the truth, right? The best human way of interaction is to give that person, a sense of ease, a sense of, look, I'm with you. I'm not against you. I am here. I'm with you. And all we want to do is just get to the truth. That's it. So you help me do that and we're good. Now it doesn't mean they're going to tell the truth,
of course.
but at least you want to give them that space to feel like they can and hopefully get them to open up. Now, the other side to that is this particular case is about domestic violence, and two of the people that the detective is interviewing have direct experience with that. And so there needs to be a sensitivity with that, again, basing this in a real life situation. You don't want to make someone feel guilty, and not just guilty, like for Janice, for example. You don't want to make her feel guilty for, because she was the victim. That's an obvious. But you also don't want to make them feel guilty for her taking matters into her own hands, right? You have to remove your own judgment, right? Because it's not about that case. That's not what this is about. She did what she did. She served her time. Now I'm just trying to figure out, Janice, did you do this again? That's it, and again, removing that judgment, as best as possible. And so that part, yes, in terms of the writing and the performance, there absolutely is an intended empathy. Because the ultimate goal of what we're trying to create is something that feels real. That's what we want, we consulted with people that work with domestic violence victims. We consulted with law enforcement, watched, hours and hours of real life interviews, and to really craft something that feels authentic. And that goes to the even the most minute details of just how do you talk to these suspects. So that was a very long-winded way of saying that yes, the empathetic was absolutely intentional.
Well, it felt very real. As I said, I am not a a detective myself. I've never been involved, and I hope I never will. But it felt, hopefully not. But it felt kind of realistic. It felt like you guys had done your research. And there was another part that I liked. And I'm not going to go too specific, but there was a moment when your character, I believe he said to one of the people, I think he said something offhand that there was this supposed domestic violence, and this character says, actually, hang on, this actually happened, and I don't appreciate the way you're speaking to me. And then your character, the detective, actually apologized. You didn't double down. You said, actually, you're right, I had a poor choice of words, and I apologize about that. And I like that as well, that the detective showed he was human, that he made a mistake, but instead of doubling down on it, you then wrote back and said, you know what, you're right, I did make a mistake here. So I kind of like
again, that's
like that. Yeah,
that's real, right? That's real. I mean, even as humans, when we have the best intentions, we might say something in a way that might come off as offensive or triggering, even though that wasn't our intent.
Exactly.
And if someone calls you out on that, well, then you have to acknowledge that. So all of that was written very intentionally because it mirrors our world where even again, with our best intentions, we make mistakes and need to acknowledge and own our mistakes.
The detective still goes, okay, but we need to find out what happened.
Sure. Ultimately, yes, we still need to figure out who the heck killed Daniel. Cause
exactly. No matter what kind of,
but
no matter what kind of guy he was, someone did kill him. And you have to find out what happened.
And that is a problem.
Exactly.
Yeah, a problem.
Did you speak in your research? Did you speak to anybody who was involved in domestic violence or how? Because it felt very real. It felt like the reaction. It felt like that everything just felt very realistic. So I'm just curious. You said you did research. You saw interviews. But did you hear from anyone or did you do any more research about this topic?
Yes. So I spoke with two different agencies. Unfortunately, off the top of my head, I don't remember their names. But I did speak with two different agencies that were actually, I was connected to them through a company called Hollywood Health and Society, which is a fantastic resource, by the way, that is available to filmmakers, and not just filmmakers, actually, I should say, entertainment creators globally. And basically what their job is to ensure medical, psychological, just accuracy. That's literally their goal. And so they connected me with these two different organizations based here in the States. And then through one of the organizations, the director, she herself was a victim of domestic violence. So she could obviously speak on the personal, but she literally she deals with victims all day long. That is her job. Mm. And helps them find resources, helps them get out of these situations, just helps them in every capacity possible. And so, they were both extremely helpful, obviously. But this one particular, because she had, again, her own actual experiences with it. She was able to be very personal, and gave a lot of insight into just, when this incident happened to her, mm. how she felt, actions that she felt she could take or not take, how she thought others might perceive her if she shared what happened. It's complex, very complex. And for anyone who has not had that experience, and I'm like you, thankfully, that has never been a part of anything of mine, not in any of my households as a child or as an adult. It's very easy for us to think we know mm-hmm. what someone should do or not do. And if they don't do something, we might sit there and like, why the heck didn't they do this? Why didn't they go to the police? Why didn't, and be very judgmental. But what I learned is it's very complex. It's not a black or white cut and dry mm-hmm. situation. And I think, I know speaking with her specifically allowed me to really understand just how sensitive we needed to be with literally every line of dialogue, every situation, especially that we put Emma through, because she's the actual victim in the case. And just make sure that we're being honest to what this kind of experience can be like. And getting that from, firsthand from someone who unfortunately had to deal with that, allows us to pass that on to the audience so that you can see, this is what it looks like, I don't want to spoil, but I'm sure you probably remember there was a moment in which, the detective questions Emma on why she didn't take a certain action. And she explains why. Mm. And it completely makes sense when she explains it. And even, Detective Ruiz has to kind of bite his tongue and say like, okay, well, shit, she's right. And if you play the game, you'll get to that moment. But it's one of those where we from the outside might say, well, why didn't she do this? Why didn't she do that? And she gives you an answer. This is why.
Yeah.
Because, X, Y, and Z. So.
Yeah. Notice that it felt very real, the interactions as well. So kudos for the writing on that as well. And the performances. And it's speaking out to performances because, I'd like to give shout out to the four actors and yourself, who were fantastic. I thought. What can you tell us about the actors? Are you able to tell us anything about who they are? Have they been in anything or, who are the actors who appeared in this game?
Sure.
Put you on the spot there.
No, it's fine. Actually, no, I'm actually very, very proud of this, actually. Mm. So the most experienced actor on the set was me. I have been acting since when I first moved to LA and started actually doing stuff. So probably since like 2005, I've done independent films. I guess my biggest claim to fame was a soap opera called Days of Our Lives that I worked on for a bit.
Oh, you were in that. I mean, I've never watched it, but obviously I've heard of it.
Yeah. That's, you know, I didn't watch it.
I'm not sure it's available in Ireland, but yeah, no, that, but that's a big thing. That's, you know.
But it, yeah, and it's a very, very big soap opera here. But the funny thing is actually, I literally have not watched it. But yeah, you know, so I've worked on, you know, various things here and there. I've never, you know, been like this big A-list or anything like that. But you know, I've worked and that's always been great. And obviously, you know, I work behind the camera, which is another passion of mine. So, but with our four actors, our second most experienced was the woman who played Emma. Her name is Camilla. And she's done, you know, some smaller independent films and some commercials. She's actually in the Denver area. And so she hasn't done anything, you know, major either. So this was like her first, like, you know, major feature type thing. And then the, actually, you know, I take it back. Sorry. Our actual second most experience was the woman that played Janice. That's Lacey Bingham. And she, so she's actually been acting for quite a bit here in the New Mexico area, mostly theater, but she's also done some television and print. So she was also pretty experienced. And I think that came through in her performance. She just felt very comfortable in Janice's skin. But for Donald Novak, Don, this was his first major project. He did like a student film before this and that was it. For our actress that played Rebecca, she this was also like her first major thing. She's done some extra work and some print stuff, but yeah, this was like, you know, so for really for three of the people of the suspects, they had never really done anything like this, you know, any sort of leading role in a film type project, and so that was, you know, really cool to give them that opportunity. And we rehearsed, like, you know, let me make it clear. This wasn't like luck. We rehearsed a lot. So we did most of our rehearsals through Zoom. And I would actually meet one-on-one with each actor. We'd go through the scenes. We'd talk to the character, their motivations and blah, 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 blah. We also met as a group to kind of just talk in the larger sense, especially the family, the, you know, Rebecca, Emma and Charles, that family unit, and met with them so they can, you know, we can discuss their backstories and all of that. And then we also rehearsed like crazy on set, you know, before we shot anything. So there was a lot of preparation because as you notice, when you play this, there's no edits. You know,
it's all, you know, like 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, video. Yeah, it's straight. You know, it's almost like theater in that sense where you're going to do a scene, you know, the curtain opens and you go for it. You do it until the curtain closes until the next scene. And that's pretty much what this was like. So we had to be very, very well prepared, not just in terms of knowing our lines, you know, that's an obvious, but also knowing how we want the scenes to fold out, you know, from a tonal perspective. And so that's, you know, that's really where the credit goes is to the preparation. Because again, three of the five actors, this was a new experience for them. They're new actors that want to work. I thought they did a phenomenal job, but the reality is they didn't have the experience prior to this. And that preparation gave them that experience. And I thought they, you know, I don't think you, if I didn't tell you, I don't think you'd be able to be able to point out who were the inexperienced actors and who weren't, you know?
No, I thought the girl who played, well, Rebecca, I thought that she was experienced. I thought because the way that she was playing. And again, these are complicated, as we've discussed the last hour, that it's very complicated topic to play. And they weren't overacting, you know, it was very subtle at times as well. So yeah, great job. I hope that they go on to have some, you know, very good careers as well. And after this, also want to give a shout out to the guy who played Daniel. We only see him for a few seconds on CCTV, but he looks scared.
yeah, he does. It's interesting because he's also like, you know, he's in it for, you know, such a short amount of time. But he's, you know, literally on the cover art, like in the background, you see him lying there dead with the gun in his hand. he's also, you know, one of the more striking images in the Case Files, because you look at the crime scene photos. And he's like literally the center of the entire case, right? He's the one that's killed. And so we need to know about him. But yeah, Tom Tierney. And I do want to acknowledge the actress Rebecca. Her name is Lauren Rice. And Lauren, by the way, I think, you know, I think everyone's going to have a great future, but I think Lauren, you know, she's really, really aggressively trying to get into the industry. And after seeing her, play Rebecca, you know, she definitely has what it takes, you know, in fact, they all do. But with Tom, Tierney, that's who plays, Daniel, he had the least amount of, you know, time. But he really had some pretty demanding stuff. You know, he had to have this whole confrontation with Charles. But we also, you know, he had to go through the makeup room and get the bullet hole. Again, I'm not spoiling anything. That's literally the crime scene photo. When you open up the game, you can see it right there. But you know, he got shot in the abdomen. So he had to go through all of that. So it was actually quite a bit for him, even though the amount of time on screen seemed minimal. It was quite a bit of work for him to just be Daniel and get into preparation for that.
Yeah, and he certainly plays a good dead body, but he still had to go through a lot of work for that. So no, I just want to give a shout out to the actors. So a great job for all of them, I think. And I know it kept you a while now, but I want to talk about the gameplay, because it was very interesting. We mentioned a little bit how, you know, you play yourself, who's a lead detective, you're working with the detective Martin Ruiz, and for a lot of it, you are watching the videos of these interrogations and these conversations the detective has with the four people individually. And at first, I admit I was unsure, because I thought, oh, if it's going to be watching the videos as a game, how's it going to work? I think overall it did work well, because even though a lot of the time it's watching, you still have to pay attention. And then you're asked questions. So Detective Martin Reed then calls you and says, so what do you think? Do you think that they're telling the truth? Or is there any piece of evidence that will contradict them? And then you have to go through the evidence as well. So I think it did work. But how did you come up with the idea for the gameplay? Because a lot of other games, as you mentioned, they'll be watching you then just say yes or no, or make a choice. Or in detective games, you might be playing the detective, asking the questions as well. So how did you come up with this idea for this gameplay?
Sure, yeah. And a lot of that, again, goes back to we wanted to keep it realistic and organic. But also, you know, acknowledge that it's a game, right? And we want the players to have to be a detective. That's ultimately why you would pick up a game like this. But the part about, you know, keeping it organic and honest to that type of an experience that really, you know, I mean, people are get interviewed every day in police stations all across the world. There are the behind the scenes detectives, and they are the ones, you, the player, that are doing exactly as you said. You know, they are the ones watching the interviews, and from a certain perspective, they have a better outlook on the suspect, because, you know, the detective, myself, Detective Ruiz, is in there and he's asking the questions, and, you know, he wants to make sure he goes through his little checklist of all the things he needs to, you know, get from him in this particular moment. And so he can't catch every single body gesture or eye shift, you know, and that's why you do have a partner. That's why there is someone behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and their job is, you know, who cares about Martin? Their job is to really critically watch this suspect, watch how they're answering questions, watch their body, you know, posture, their gestures when they're stating a certain thing, you know, whatever. I mean, that's where the, you know, I don't know if you played L.A. Noir. But they have these moments in that game where you know, facial reaction, and that's literally what you're supposed to be doing. It's like trying to read gestures and eye contact and stuff like that. And that's very much a part of this as well. So the watching of the videos, again, this goes back to why, you know, crime shows and things like that are of interest, why people love watching them, is because it is an active experience, right? You know, one of these four people did it. You don't know which one until you come to your own conclusions based on the statements and the evidence and blah, blah, blah. But you know someone did it. That's the setup, right? So you aren't just watching them. you know? In fact, I say if you're just watching them, you're doing this wrong.
You're not playing the game correctly.
No, you're not playing the game correctly. Exactly. You should be observing them very critically with every single thing that they're saying. And then part of the gameplay loop, there's really two portions of the gameplay loop, and we have them structured. Like, the first part of it is the honesty, you know, are they telling the truth about whatever, you know, statements that Detective Ruiz wants Clyde? And that's a very straightforward thing. It's either a yes or a no, right? They're either telling the truth or they're not telling the truth about it. There's no in between. And so you have to, you know, make, you know, your call based on what you critically observed, based on the evidence that you have and things like that. And the important thing to note too, and Detective Ruiz states this to you so that you're aware, you know, I think he says something along the line of, you know, we got to be careful with the decision we make here because, you know, if we get this wrong, we may not get anything more out of them or whatever.
Yeah,
and that's basically letting you know, the player, that if you get it right, well, then the subsequent interview, you're going to get more information that's going to help fill in the case a little bit more. Now, if you get it wrong, then the opposite happens. You don't get anything new and you're just stuck where you went. And again, that's organic. You know, you made the wrong call in the interview and you believe something that was a lie, or you called out something that was a lie that was actually the truth. Well, then that suspect's going to clam up like, what the hell? I told you the truth. Why are you telling me that I lied? No, I told you the truth, you know? So that's the first part of the gameplay loop is to watch them and to then, yeah, think, you know, when asked, are they telling the truth or lying about a specific thing, to answer that question using your observational skills and the evidence. And then the other part of the gameplay loop is the contradictions. And I will admit, you know, this was inspired very much from the Phoenix Wright games, which I love those games as well. I didn't say that was my favorite genre or game in the narrative genre, because The Life is Strange is a step ahead. But I do love the Phoenix Wright games. And they have, you know, those components when you're in the courtroom and you have to like find, right, specific things that can either trump what they were saying or whatever, you know, but you're asked to find, you know, evidence or information. And I love that mechanic. And so I thought, you know, these kind of experiences also had that, you know, like sometimes someone will say something and they may not necessarily be lying, but something contradicts what they said. Again, it doesn't mean that they're lying. It could mean the other person was lying, right? But there is something that contradicts what they said somewhere along the line of this interview. And so that's the other part of the other mechanic, is being tasked with finding either a piece of evidence or multiple pieces of evidence that contradict, you know, anything that they said in that statement. And so you have to, you know, again, observational skills, you have to, you know, you might have to even look back at the interview, really listen to it carefully, take some notes, and then dig through your evidence and see, okay, maybe this piece of evidence or maybe this statement that the other suspect said, wait, that doesn't line up with what they just said. So someone's off here. And then you can present that, and then the detective will take your findings in the game and then confront them, you know, say, hey, look, this doesn't match up. What's the deal? And then we then in the final act, we actually then mix it, where you get a little bit of the yes or no, honest, your truth, and a little bit of the contradictions as well. And then the ultimate thing is then you have to figure out who did it. That's, you know, and I don't want to spoil anything past that. But you're tasked with the obvious, which is solving it. And then there's more past that, you know, but that will leave that for the players to.
Sure. Yeah. It's certainly was very, very interesting. And as I told you before we started recording, that there was, like, I'm not going to say anything specific about the end, obviously, but there was something else that we had to do that I was like, oh wow, I didn't expect this. It's not, you know, black and white, as you said. And we are given the opportunity with options on how we want to proceed all the way through, actually. So, and that's what another thing I liked is when the interviews are, well, live in the game, you can also check the evidence while the interview is going ahead, which I did. I'm not saying it's probably a good way, because you're probably supposed to observe the interview, but at times when one of the characters said something and I went, oh, actually that I remember reading in the evidence, or something else that someone said. So I would have might have another video playing on a second monitor, or the CCTV monitor, or anything, and just to check through while the interview is still going ahead. So that also added some kind of realism that I thought.
And again, that's exactly it. You know, we want to keep it organic to how experiences are. You know, again, you're right. You might be watching the live interview. Someone says something and like, hold on, let me check the text message just to make sure that lines up, because that sounds off. Or let me look back at the CCTV footage and see, wait, I don't remember that. That seems different than what I saw. So, and that's what a real detective behind the scenes is going to do. That's literally their job. Their job is to carefully analyze these suspects, look at the evidence, and point out and find things that are wrong, things that don't make sense, that need further clarification so that we can solve this case. That's so, and I love that you played it like that, because the reality is you can play this game however you want. You know, that you know, if you just want to watch the interviews and just focus on them until they're done and then dive into your evidence, fine. One of the new features actually that wasn't in the, well, I shouldn't say wasn't, it's not in the demo. So we do have a demo on Steam. It actually is going to be delisted tomorrow. So unfortunately, when this comes out, you know, the only thing available will be the full game. But the full game is obviously a better experience. But in the demo, we actually, the live interviews just auto start. They just, you know, so you notice that you actually choose when you want play. The interview. Yeah. That was actually an addition that we got from players, play testers, people that played the demo that were like, you know, I want time to review the evidence.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's a great choice. Yeah.
So we changed that. So what you got to experience is actually pretty new. That was added like in the last month or so. Because even the first game, actually, they just autoplay, you know, and I realized that the players, well, they know best. They're the ones playing, right? and enough people had said it that we realized, okay. And again, it just gives more control over how you want to play it. If you want to roll right into the next video, then fine, go for it. Or if you want to spend 10, 20, 30 minutes or whatever reviewing stuff and making sure you got all your ducks in a row before you do that next interview, that's fine too. You're the detective. It's your room. You play it how you want. And you tell Detective Ruiz when you're ready for him to start. And if you're not ready, then he's got to wait. And that's okay.
poor Martin Ruiz had to wait there.
It's very awkward just sitting there with the suspect waiting for it to begin.
No, but I think it was a good choice, because again, it gives more control to the player. You know, how we want to play it. You know, do we want to go? I mean, I think ideally, yes, we should. What I did is I went through all the evidence first before the first interview just to try. But yeah, if people want to live on the edge, I think that are to go through as well. But yeah, no, I really, really enjoyed it as well. And then and we will finish up very, very soon. But so the CCTV, so was that a real house or in front of a real house that you filmed in as well? Or how did you...
My house.
Yep. Oh, that's your house.
So I can verify that is absolutely a real house. Yeah. It's my house. The both the interior and the exterior.
So now you don't need to give the address. Now you don't.
No. Of course not. That's my real house. And now we don't actually have CCTV cameras here. So we actually had to, you know, recreate that aspect. It's actually, we set up a GoPro, set it to the wide angle, then
it's very convincing.
It's funny, we shot it like at like I think 2K or maybe even 4K, and then we made it look crappy. So we got like this really great footage, and then we had to, like, you know, make it look like garbage, like actual CCTV, you know, because otherwise it would have looked so fake, you know, because the GoPros are, they can shoot some pretty sharp images. Which is not reflective of what these real security cameras look like.
That was all realistic. In fact, and convincing.
Some good behind the scenes photos that show the little rig that we made for that.
Oh, well, fantastic. Well, so this game, by the time this interview goes out, the game will have released, and I really hope it does well and that people like it. I think people will like it. It's out on the 11th of April. It's out on Steam. Is it out on consoles as well? Or is it just Steam?
It just Steam on the 11th. Yeah, we are absolutely going to have a PlayStation release first in terms of console, and then Xbox. Unfortunately, I don't have a date yet, but I am hoping that it's, you know, either May or June. And of course, once we have that, you know, we'll publicly share that. So For those that are console players, it is 100% coming to console. I just unfortunately can't give an exact date at this point in time.
But coming soon.
Absolutely, hopefully. Yeah. And on PlayStation, the page is already up, so you can, you know, go and wish list the game, and then that way when it's released, you'll get notified, you know, just like you do on Steam. So you don't have to wait to hear it from me. You know, go ahead, wish list it, and then Sony themselves will let you know.
Fantastic. Well, I would recommend that people play this game. I think if you, especially if you like detective games or detective stories, or if you're a fan of, as you mentioned, Criminal, because you mentioned right at the very beginning, and just to bring it all the way around, that a Criminal was what was good, so good about it was its simplicity. And I think that's the case here in this game as well, that the gameplay is simple enough, I think, for, and I mean this as a positive, for people who don't usually play games, adventure or otherwise, they can get to grips pretty easily, I think. But it's still challenging enough that we have to then see, you know, with the evidence and who's lying, who's telling the truth, what are they telling the truth about, and match that as well. So do you have any ideas of what you might be doing after this? I know you probably can't reveal, but do you have any ideas? I don't know. I mean, I would like a series of this game with Detective
Mark. Oh, no, I can reveal a little bit, actually.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, well, go ahead.
We already actually have the idea for the next case. And the next case is, it's crazy. And this one is actually going to be based off of a real case, that happened where I used to live in California, a city called Santa Clarita. We're drawing actual inspiration from a real life case. I don't want to get too involved as to what it is, but we're raising the stakes of the case and what you'll be doing by a lot. And then one of the things that we were talking about, me and my producing partner, is actually, because, you know, we have the set built and the programming for the most part is there, you know, we can swap in different cases, different evidence, things like that, you know, to kind of replicate the formula with just new cases, is actually shooting two cases back to back. You know, similar to what they did with, like, you know, Lord of the Rings trilogy, where they shot them back to back, but then, you know, in post-production, they, you know, staggered them, because it actually makes it easier, in some ways, where we can just at least get all of the footage shot. And then, you know, in post-production, get the first, or, you know, I guess the first of the two ready and then shipped. And then now we can just take the footage from the next one, get that ready and then shipped, so we can get the cases out to the players sooner. So there's absolutely going to be another case. And that one's going to be pretty wild. And ideally, there'll be two more that we shoot back to back.
Well, fantastic. Well, I look forward to playing them, because I really enjoyed this. And hopefully Detective Martin Ruiz will return.
that is the intent. Yeah,
because I really enjoyed that. I get him not just say because you played it, because I didn't know until the very end of the game that you were also the lead developer. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So the game is Case Files Behind Closed Doors. I will leave links in the show notes on the podcast so people can check it out, and the website as well, and the other stuff. Can we watch your films that you've made anywhere? Is that easy to find?
The whole, and I can, you know, send you links. The whole is on our website. It's by request, because that's the one that deals with solitary confinement. So we use that mostly with, like, organizations. But Smuggled, which is the film I told you about earlier, that's available on Amazon. You can, I believe you can rent it or stream it, or purchase it. So yeah, you can find Smuggled, right on Amazon. That's the best way to check it out and watch it.
Perfect. Well, I'll leave a link to the website. It's think10mediagroup.com, and to your game as well. And I think I might check out the other game that you made, The Deaths of Paulette Williams, which I haven't had a chance to check out yet, but I look forward to that. So is there anything else?
I'd love to see your thoughts on how it evolved, actually.
Yeah, because it does with first game, and, you know, this, as you mentioned, the gameplay seems to evolve from that. So it's great to hear that you're listening to feedback as well, which is great about the pressing play. You know, it's great. It's a good amount of added to the experience, so that's really nice as well. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention that we haven't covered before?
No, I think this has been really comprehensive. I just I want to thank you again for for having me. I want to thank everyone for listening. And hopefully if this is the kind of thing that you know, gets you excited for gaming and detective work, you know, check it out. You know, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with playing Case Files Behind Closed Doors.
I agree. I think people will enjoy it. Well, that's it. I hope the game does very well. And I hope that you all have, and all the actors go on to really good careers as well in acting as well, because I really enjoyed the performances in this game as well. And thank you for coming on to the podcast. I really enjoyed chatting with you, and I hope to speak to you again soon. I hope maybe next time when the next case is out, we can talk about that then. Absolutely. That'd be great. So I'm guessing you're pretty busy with the release of the game. So we'll also be reviewing the game on the podcast and leaving links. So thank you for joining me, Ramon, and very, very best of luck.
Thank you very much.
So that was my interview with Ramon Hamilton. A huge, huge thank you to Ramon for speaking to me. I had a lovely, lovely time speaking to him, and I'd love to speak to him again in the near future. I'm looking forward to his next two games that he said he was working on, and I hope to play the other game that he spoke about as well. But in the meantime, I would really encourage people to check out Case Files Behind Closed Doors. It's a really fun game. You really do feel like a detective helping this other detective along the interrogations to find out what exactly happened. I will be reviewing this game in some more detail next week. Hopefully the review episode will be out when I'll be speaking with, recording with Kieran. We'll be reviewing The Last Worker and Murder on the Yangtze River. And we'll see what else we'll have time to talk about as well. So I would encourage people to check it out anyway. Case Files Behind Closed Doors. And so that is it for this week. As I said, I'll be back next week, free with Kieran. And also, I will be at Reboot again this year, the Reboot Games Conference, Reboot Blue in Dubrovnik. And this time, I think it's safe to announce this now, I will be interviewing none other than Charles Cecil. Now, I will do my best to upload either a video or audio. I will do my best to also get the sound working as good as possible, and also doing a video from Reboot. So you can check out the YouTube channel Adventure Games Podcast, and a link is in the show notes for that as well. So there'll be plenty more to come in the next couple of weeks and months from the Adventure Games Podcast. So in the meantime, I hope everyone is well. I hope everyone has a good time wherever you are, and I will speak to you all very, very soon. So take care, everybody, and goodbye.
If you like the Adventure Games podcast, then please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Please leave a review on iTunes if you can, as every review helps, and reviews will help get the word out, especially for adventure game developers who appear on the podcast. Now, you can also follow me on social media. You can follow me on Twitter at AdventGamePod. You can follow me on Facebook at Adventure Games Podcast. You can also follow me on Instagram at Adventure Games Podcast as well. And we're also on Discord at Adventure Games Podcast. So if you are a adventure game developer or a adventure game player, you can follow us there. So again, please feel free to retweet and share podcast episodes and the podcast to people who believe may enjoy it. And you can also find more information about the podcast on www.adventuregamespodcast.com. So until next time, thank you. Thank you.